Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This summer, we have been tackling what do Christians even believe? And we have navigated some of our basic teachings, what we call doctrines, but we have also tackled some questions, which is a practice called apologetics, which is the reasons for our faith and answers to those hard questions. And today we're going to dance with something a little in the mix of those. And originally the plan was to compare Christianity to other world religions and see how they stack up. And as we got digging into this, I decided to take it a little bit different route. The reality is for us, especially in the context of Eastern Canada and Amherst in particular, is that our demographic and the ethnic diversity that we have in this town has changed dramatically in the past 6 years. I'm not trying to be rude or anything with this statement, but up until about 6 years ago, like, I saw, like, a couple families that were of African descent, and the rest were weird white people. And now you can walk around and you see people from all over the world living here, whether that's people from Africa, people from the Philippines, from India, you've got people from Mexico and South America, you've got Eastern Asians, you've got such a wide diversity of people in this area now, which is totally different from what it was even just 6 years ago. And so the reality is that not only are these people moving here and coming from different places and different backgrounds, but they're also coming with their own religious beliefs. And I think it is important for us to understand what it is they believe and why Jesus matters to them. See, there's an incredible passage in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 10 to, or 13 to 15. This is what he says. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So what I want to do is I want to walk through a few different world religions and kind of just give a very brief flyover perspective of what they believe, and then what do we do with that as Christians? What do we do with that as people who follow Christ? What should our response be, and how do we handle that? So the first one I want to look at is one of the three largest religions in the world, and that is Hinduism. Now, Hinduism is mainly more of an Eastern Asian population, very, very strong in India and those surrounding countries. And Hinduism has just this wide range of beliefs. They have a set of teachings called the Vedas, which I believe just means knowledge. And they have that, but they also have different groups that fall into the category of Hinduism, and they have different beliefs beyond that. Some of them have basically three gods that they have in that belief system. There's Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, and there can be, depending on the different group, some of them have just those three, and then they have six secondary gods, and there are other groups that have up to millions of different gods that they believe in. And one of the key aspects with Hinduism is they believe that they are working to get to this place of kind of like salvation. But what happens is when you go through this process of karma. Now, you've probably all heard the word karma. Well, that comes from Hinduism. And it's this belief that when you do good things happen, and when you do bad things happen. And how that works in their understanding is that it really works in a system of reincarnation. And so if you do bad things throughout your life, when you die, you are then reincarnated, you are brought back to life as a new person. But if you did bad things, then you're in a lower social setting, a lower social situation than you were before. But if you spent your life doing good things and building up good karma, then when you die, you are then reincarnated as somebody that is in a higher social class. Now, so they are constantly thinking in this system that they are stuck in their social level throughout their life. They've got to work hard so that in the next life they get to be a higher class. They call it the caste system. And that has this interesting result, because it means that if you're poor, if you're homeless, if you don't have good opportunities, if your family is in a mess, if that is your life, they would say, well, you're in that life because in your previous life, you did bad things. And so you deserve to be in that lower socioeconomic level. And if you are wealthy, you are well off, you are doing well, you're healthy, then that is because you did good things in your past life and you deserve to be in that situation. And so this idea that there should be any crossing of those regions, any idea that somebody from a lower caste can move up, is this like, well, no, it's based on what you did in your past life and whether you deserved it or not, based on your karma. And so they have a word for this reincarnation called samsara. And so they're trying to work their way through that to get to the higher situations. They do that through fulfilling rituals and social duties, meditative practices, contemplation, love and loyalty to a personal deity that they have, which could be one of the big three, it could be one of the secondary gods, or it could be one of millions of other options in their belief system. Now, they end up doing this, trying to give and release life, to build up karma, to work their way through reincarnation. That's basically, very basically, Hinduism. Okay? A branch off of Hinduism, actually, is another big world religion known as Buddhism. Now, that is one of these things that we hear a lot about, and I know I've heard a lot about, that people really like the teachings of Buddhism, and it's just very peaceful and it's very good, and they like it. Well, Buddhism, as a branch of Hinduism, actually says that there is still this samsara, this reincarnation, and that you, again, are dealing with karma, and you're going through and being reincarnated and reincarnated and reincarnated until you reach the state of nirvana, which, interestingly enough, was not based on a band. This was long before the band. And so we have this guy who was a Hindu, and he kind of branched off, and he apparently reached enlightenment, and he became known as Buddha. Okay? And he went around teaching people, and he taught basically these ideas. Suffering is inescapable as part of reincarnation. Desire is the cause of all suffering. Suffering and attachment to reincarnation can be ended through the ending of all desire. And when you remove all desire, you end reincarnation and you reach nirvana. So, for the Buddhist, somebody that really believes in the core Buddhist teachings, and we know that there are lots of people who like to pick and choose bits and pieces from different religions, but for somebody that is a true Buddhist, they are attempting to reach nirvana by getting rid of all desire in their life, all attachment to things. If they simply get away from and are able to disconnect themselves from everything they have attachment to and every personal desire and want in their life, they can remove suffering from their experience, and they will then be enlightened and they will go into the state of nirvana. So the Hindu is trying to do good to get through reincarnation, and the Buddhist is trying to get rid of desire in their life so that they don't have to suffer anymore. One of the other key religions is Judaism. Now, Judaism is what we get Christianity from, is that we believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, the Jews believe in the Old Testament. They don't call it the Old Testament because they don't believe that there is a New Testament. They just call it their religious book, the Torah. And they believe what we have as the Old Testament is their scriptures. And they believe that they need to be following the law of God, and that at some point he will come and he will bring the Messiah, the King, to finally restore the Jewish people and save the world. But they do not believe in Jesus. They are waiting for a Messiah. They are waiting for the coming King. They are waiting for the member of David's family to be the King to restore Israel. But they don't believe he's come yet. Then we have the religion known as Islam. And Islam is another one of these religions that has this wide diversity of different beliefs. You have some that are simply, they hold to the teachings of Muhammad. They have the Quran, which is their religious book, and they try to follow those teachings, and they try to follow it just like we go to church. They would go to the mosque, and they would have readings from the Quran, and they would live their life according to certain rules in order to do the right things in their life to be saved and go to heaven. We know that there are other groups who would fall into the Islamic groupings where they have even crazier beliefs, like you have to do certain terrorist activities to jumpstart your way to heaven. That's not every person that believes in Islam, but there are groups like that. And for Muslims, or those who follow Islam, there is kind of five pillars that they need to live out. They need to live out faith, prayer, generosity, fasting, and a pilgrimage to Mecca. Now, the final religion I want to mention is one called Christianity. And there are many different diverse groupings of Christians as well. Some of them have taught at different times that if you were to die while working on the construction of a church, you would then be propelled straight to heaven. That's not every church. That's not every Christian that believes that. I think that's totally heretical, totally wrong. But when you look at history, you know that that is one of those things that was used in the past in the name of Christianity. We also know that there are those diversity of beliefs, and it is important for us to narrow down what we believe and why we believe it because of that diversity, that we don't fall into teaching things that are wrong, that go against God. Now, when we take that broad overview of different things, what can we conclude? Well, number one is that there is always this, or just about always, this teaching about some sort of afterlife. Okay? And if we believe that the afterlife is an actual experience, is something very real and tangible, then logic dictates that they cannot all be true. If the reality is that if you live a good life, then you get reincarnated to a higher caste system, or if you live a bad life, you go to hell, like, they can't both be true. If that is how the system works, both beliefs can't be true. If the afterlife is a real thing, then all those diverse beliefs cannot be true at the same time. There has to be a single truth, just like our lives have a single truth to them of reality. And so some of the ways that we get around that, or people get around that, is we say, well, not every religion, actually all religion is wrong, but they'd like to take a little bit from all of them and say, well, they all point to one thing. They all point to one idea. Not all religions have bits and pieces are right, but when you smash them all together, then you get what's true. And you know what? That is a very nice idea. But that begs the question of, well, then what are they all pointing to? What do they all direct to? What is it that they're all going for? And I think for us, as we have done this study all through the summer so far, is that we have seen that this book is historically accurate, has been well preserved, tells us the story of Christ, that there is good logical, rational, historical, academic, scientific arguments for why this book is true, and that Jesus did in fact live and die and then rise again. And if the truth is that this book is accurate and that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead and is still alive today, and so he is the Son of God, then we can say pretty confidently that he is God. And so I think where I land on this is that when you look at all these different religions that we are interacting with and that are around us, we have very good reason to believe that Christ is God. And I believe that all religions in the world, at their fundamental core, are trying to answer a question, are trying to find the answer, and the answer lies in Jesus. This is my point here. Whether they realize it or not, every religion is looking for Jesus. and we need to help them find him. Every religion is looking for Jesus, and it is our job to help them find him. How many of you have ever had the experience of being in conversation with somebody? It may have been a super serious conversation. You may have been on the platform doing a sermon, and you're there, and you go to say a word, and the word isn't there because you can't think of what the word is. Anybody? And you're there, and you're talking to somebody, and you're like, oh, for Pete's sake, what are those things in the water that do this? Fish. Oh, fish. Oh. Or you're like, oh, what is that thing called? It's like, it looks like a crown or the thing on a rooster's head, but it's upside down and under a cow. What is that called? What? The other? Utter! The utter! Oh! You guys have had those experiences where you're just completely foolish, right? And you feel like an idiot. And thankfully, many of you have not been on the platform preaching a sermon and go to say a word and you're like, I don't know what this word is supposed to be. And so you've got to stumble over your words and then say a different word. That happens to me all the time. But when we get into those situations, we start throwing out all these clues, all these guesses, right? We compare the udder to the whatever the thing is. What's the thing on top of the comb, see? Here we go again. On top of a rooster's head. We start throwing these things out to try to make these comparisons to find the answer. But when you do that and you finally get the answer, then you don't need to go on with all the other explanations and the guesses and the comparisons to try to get to the answer. You can just say, the cow's udder, the fish, comb, whatever. And I think for most people in the world, they're looking for something. And the word they're trying to find is Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, Paul again mentions, he says in Romans chapter 1 verse 19, he says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. He's saying you can look around and know there is a God. You don't know the name Jesus, but you look around and you can tell that there is a God. And in the book of Acts, there's another story about Paul, chapter 17. And Paul is in Greece. And he's in Athens. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the it looks like Areopagus, but I'm pretty sure it's something. He stood up in front of the people and said, people of Athens, I see in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And as some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. Paul is there. He is in this area where the people do not believe in Jesus. They don't even believe in the Old Testament. And he goes to them and says, I see that you guys have this opening, that you believe that there's some answer out there, but you don't know the answer. And I am here to tell you that the answer is Jesus. I believe that every religion is looking for Jesus, and we need to help them find him. Now, I want to be clear. It is not our job to interrupt or destroy somebody's culture. It is not our job to change someone's morals or their rules. It is not our job to make people submit to our way of life or to be obedient. That is not what I am saying. That is not our job. Our job is not to make everybody Canadian. Our job is not to make everybody do things exactly the way we do them. Our job is to point them to Jesus. He can do the rest. Whatever that looks like, he can do the rest. And part of that is, part of how we do that is we learn about what they believe, and then we share what we believe. We share how Jesus meets our needs, how we have met him. You share why you believe Jesus is the true God, and you show how Jesus fulfills the needs that their religion is seeking. You can go to somebody who believes and follows Hinduism and is stuck in this trap of karma, and you can share with them this incredible belief that God loves them, cares about them, that there is not slave nor free nor Greek nor Jew, but all are made in the image of God, and he is gracious. Not basing it on what you deserve, but living out mercy and grace, and that they don't need to be trapped by their past. And he has a new future for them because of forgiveness and grace and what Jesus has done. You can go to somebody who is following the ways of Buddhism and is trying to just get rid of all desire and attachment in their lives. And you can say, you don't need to be scared of desire. You don't need to run away from suffering by getting rid of desire. I believe in a God who loves you and is so good that he can actually fulfill your desires, and fulfill your desires so completely that you can go through suffering and suffering doesn't matter. You can look at the Muslim and say, you don't need to work hard and hard and hard and hard and hard to do all the right things every time and still end up not sure about God. You can know him, and his work is already done for you, and he wants to be with you and change you from the inside out. You can look at somebody who is Jewish and share with them the New Testament and say, compare the Old Testament to Jesus. This person that you've been waiting for has already come. And you can talk to the Christian who has turned the belief system into legalism or guilt or shame and fear, and say that God has given us the Holy Spirit so we can be transformed. I believe that every religion is looking for Jesus, and we need to help them find him. Not find this church, not find this religion, not find our way of life, but find Jesus. Worship team's coming back up, and they're going to do another song or two or three or whatever it is. And for some of you here, you have wrestled with your own doubts and concerns about other world religions. And maybe he's stirring in you and he's saying, see, I am the answer. Others of you, you're here and maybe you've been tempted to fall into this idea that wants to put other people or people from other parts of the world or other religions, and you want to put them down, or you want to be rude to them, or you want to push against them and be unkind. And God is saying to you, no, that is not your job. Your job is to show them Jesus, to love them. Some of you have family members, friends, coworkers who follow these other beliefs. And he's saying to you, there's an open door. There's an open door for you. How can they have the fulfillment, the peace, the love, the life, the hope of Jesus if someone does not talk to them about him? Whatever it is that God is calling you to, lean into it, accept it, and follow him. Because every religion is looking for Jesus. And we need to help them find him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.